Our series on discovering God's DNA. I hope you've enjoyed this journey that we're on as we begin to unwrap and continue to unwrap the spiritual DNA that God has put within us. Next week, we're going to see some more slides of things that happened this week. Keep those pictures coming, because the real spiritual DNA happens outside of these walls, and I want to encourage you. But today, we're going to be ministering, we're going to be returning to a subject that we started several months ago, and that is the idea of not just knowing our name, but living our name. Amen. Some of you were here for that. We started with the first word in our name, and it's appropriate to be first, faith. Faith Community Church, that's who we are, and faith is where we begin and where we end, isn't it? We're saved by faith. We live by faith. Why? We even die by faith. It's all about faith. It's the filter of our life. And it's not enough just to have it in our name, but we want to live it every day in our lives. Amen? Someone said, where's the faith at Faith Community? Well, I hope it's in everything we do, because anything that's not done by faith is just us. And so faith is first in the name, and it's first priority. Secondly, we talked about community. Do you remember that? What is community? We all want it. We desire it. It means to be connected with one another. And we are going to be connecting in all different kinds of level. How many of you remember the bullseye we did? Remember the bullseye? We start in the center with a 10 and we move out 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Those are levels of relationships. Now, we have so many 10s, so many 9s, so many 8s, 7. You're not going to have a 10 relationship with everyone, but you should seek some 10 relationships in the body of Christ. And then as we move out from that center, we begin to connect with people on all levels in community. And next week, Greg's going to be ministering to us about another level of community that we, of course, want to have. Well, today we want to move to the third word in our name. Pretty obvious. Church. Church. We are faith, community, church. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18. He said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, Peter, you are Petrus, but on Petra I will build my church. I am the rock. Peter, you're a chip off the rock. So are you. Amen. We're part of that rock. And Jesus declared that day that he was going to build his church. It's an interesting word in the Greek. It means ecclesia. Ecclesia. Jesus said that I will build my ecclesia. What does it mean? Well, if you break the word down, and it's got two parts to it. The first part means to call. The second part means out of. So to be called out of. Christ has called his church. Amen? Do you believe that? Christ has called his church. We are part of the calling. It appears 115 times in the New Testament. Jesus used it 3 times, of which this is the first. He was making a declaration today that sometimes we miss. What is the church? We have a tendency to think that the church is a building, but that's not what Jesus was saying, is it? The church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not a time slot during the week. It's not even an event. It can't be confined in a once-a-week meeting. The church, the ecclesia, is you. It's you and me. It's you and me. In the classical Greek, it means oftentimes it was used to talk about an assembly of people who were called together, maybe in government or some type of civil gathering. It's people called to assemble. Jesus was taking that word, and what was he saying about his church? He said, I'm calling you to assemble. I'm calling you to come together. You are my church. You are the called out. You are the assembly. In fact, that's often the word that was translated in the original English translations that were given to us. The word church never appeared. In 1524 was the very first full English translation of the New Testament, and you couldn't find the word church anywhere. But you would find the word assembly or congregation. That's really a correct translation of the word. If you want to get the proper image, you'll find it in 1 Peter, where we read these words. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. I love these words. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You also. He's talking about Christ being that living stone that he was rejected by man, but he was chosen by God and he was precious to God. And he's saying, you also. That's what he's saying to Peter. Peter, I'm Petra, but you're Petrus. Peter, I'm the rock, but you're part of that rock. We are part of that living stone, aren't we? And we also have been chosen by God. And we also are precious to him. How many of you believe that today? Do you believe you're precious to God? Do you ever wonder about it? I mean, when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, start your day. Hey, listen, I am precious to God. I am chosen by God. Tell your spouse that. Hey, listen, I'm pretty special to God. Did you know that? And you are. He brags about you. He's crazy about you. You are part of God's plan for the church. Like living stones, we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Why? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then just keep reading on in the chapter. He says, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him, here it is, who called you out. God called you out. The ecclesia, we're the ecclesia of God. We are the called out ones. God called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. We are the people of God, plural. I'm not just an individual standing by myself, but I am part of God's spiritual house. We are a people who once were not a people, and now we are a people. Amen? Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. We want to consider this morning, why do we gather? Why do we gather? Today we focus on the corporate gathering, which we're experiencing here this morning. Next week, Greg's going to be ministering to us about faith groups and small groups when we gather outside of this place. He's going to lead us into why do we gather in these types of groups. How is it that they fit into the building up of the body of Christ to fulfill the mandate of discipleship? It's what God has called us to. As we gather and as we consider the gathering, it's important that we understand the history of gathering. In your insert, you'll see some scriptures listed there. From these scriptures, it will be clear that there is no doubt, none whatsoever, that gathering is part of our DNA. The desire to come together. Do you feel it? Does it draw you at times? Like, I want to be together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Bible declares it is not good that man be alone. There is a desire within us to connect. It's from God. If you are one who desires to be alone, I want you to know it's not from God. It's not God's desire that you be alone. God has made us to be together. It's part of our DNA. If you desire to be alone, that's not a God thing. That's a you thing. That's something that's within you. It's not from God's heart. God's heart is to draw us together, and that's what we celebrate here when we come together on Sunday mornings. But it happened long before now. In fact, in Leviticus, the 8th chapter, the children of Israel, they had left Egypt. They were in the wilderness, and God gave them a plan to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And we could see it visually here. I love that. It represents as a shadow of what we're experiencing here today. There were 12 tribes. They camped out in tents together, families, communities, tribes together. But they had one thing in common. It was the tent of meeting. It's where they gathered. And they camped all around the tent of meeting. And what was it God declared to Moses? He said, listen, have them assemble together at the entrance of the tent of meeting. I want them to assemble together, the assembly. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, they just finished rebuilding the walls of the city. And how did they celebrate? It says, on the first day of the 7th month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the what? The assembly. This assembly was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud. Are you ready for this? From daybreak till noon. Well, they got the noon part right, didn't they? We go till noon, right? I don't know about that daybreak thing. You see, these folks were not watching the clock, were they? It wasn't about when do I get out. I mean, they were serious about this. They were serious about the assembly. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. I don't have it on a slide, but I love 2 Chronicles 20. When Jehoshaphat is being surrounded by armies from every direction, they're way outnumbered. What did they do? In verse 5, it says, he called an assembly. They assembled together, Judah and Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. Isn't that fascinating? When you're in trouble, there's no better place to be than to be in the assembly. What happened after 9/11? Do you remember? That Sunday was a record church attendance in America. Why? It's because it's just the way God wired us. After a tragic event, we want to be together, don't we? That's from God. It's God's heart to be together. God didn't call us to be islands to ourselves. He wants us to connect together. Well, it didn't just stop in the Old Testament. It overflowed into the church. In Acts, the second chapter, we know this scripture so well, don't we? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers, are you ready? Were together. They were together. And they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Listen to this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They praised God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The gathering. It's always been the heart of God. In Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 7, on the first day of the week, it says, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Man, these people know how to have church, don't they? Glory to God. In fact, if you know the story, somebody fell asleep, right? Some kid fell asleep and fell out of the window and died, and they had to resurrect him from the dead. That'd be a cool church service, wouldn't it? Hey, listen, hey, I want you to know it's okay if you fall asleep in church. You know, glory to God. I had somebody tell me yesterday, well, Pastor, I sleep on Sunday mornings. I said, well, you can come. Other people sleep here on Sunday mornings. It's okay. You can come. You're not going to offend me. In fact, I had a wife come to me once and said, Pastor, I'm so embarrassed that my husband fell asleep this morning. I said, don't be embarrassed. I said, I'm honored. He could have stayed home and slept, and he came here. Glory to God. That's great. He's at perfect peace. Jesus slept in the boat, didn't he? He slept in the boat, so praise the Lord. Well, Paul preached so long that they fell asleep. I tell you, that was an awesome time in the church. It was the gathering. It's all about coming together, isn't it? Three quick questions I want to answer this morning. One is, when should we gather? Why should we gather? And how do we prepare ourselves to gather? If this is important to God, how do we proceed? First off, when should we gather? Well, obviously, we gather together corporately. I love the corporate gathering. I think it's unique. I think it's special. God, from the Old Testament to the New, we have gathered together as the church. There's things that happen corporately that we can do in greater numbers that we cannot do by ourselves. God's called us together. We do come together to be able to encourage one another. In fact, this morning, 52 million people will be gathering in these United States to worship just like we're doing. Why? Why do they do that? God's put something in them. Next week, Greg's going to talk to us about gathering outside these walls in small groups, faith groups. That's important, isn't it? It's part of our DNA. We're going to learn about how that's supposed to function in the church and how that's part of God's plan to fulfill the Great Commission. But even beyond that, there's gatherings. How about one-on-one gatherings? Do you have any people? Do you have someone you meet with on a regular basis? It's a gathering. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The ecclesia. It's everywhere, isn't it? It's part of our DNA to be together. And so we gather corporately. It's significant. It's important to come together as we do here on Sunday morning. But it's also important to gather at other times. In fact, I believe it's important that we gather with other churches. In fact, we're going to be doing some of that in the future. We've been talking with some of our brothers in the north end of Wichita, the African American part of our community. We're talking about doing some pulpit exchanges. How'd you like to do that? Wouldn't that be great? And get together as congregations? Yeah, but what if we don't agree totally doctrinally, you know? Glory to God. I believe God, we come together, and I believe this to be true. It's been my experience. Every time we come together like that, I am never disappointed. Never. Because the spirit of unity is from the heart of God. I can remember when we were pastoring, and I had this desire to connect with other congregations, and especially in the black community. We wanted to do that. I felt like the church is the most segregated place in America. And it bothers me. Because God's church doesn't know color, does it? It doesn't know color. And so we thought, well, it's easy to talk about, but what are we going to do? And so I remember contacting Lincoln Montgomery. How many of you know Lincoln Montgomery? Yeah. What a beautiful man of God. I said, Lincoln, listen, we want to bring our congregation to your church. We brought our whole congregation to their church on a Sunday night. All us white folks showed up. And all black church. It was cool. It was really neat. I remember we started prayer walking down the street. Just walking down the street praying. This one lady came out of her house. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're praying. Oh, thank God, she said. I looked out the window and I saw you white folks. And she said, I prayed, oh, Lord, let this be peaceful. And something beautiful happened because people would stop in their cars. What are you doing? We're praying. Oh, would you pray with me? Yeah, we'll pray with you. And I remember going to Lincoln's church, and we had a great time. And I said, now, Lincoln, you got to bring your church to our church. And they all loaded up on a Sunday night, and they came to our church. It was awesome. It was great. I remember at Lincoln's church, you sit in a throne. I mean, the chairs are like these Orthodox, really cool. I said, man, Lincoln, you're like a king here. Well, he came to our church, and we didn't have any thrones to sit in. In fact, our church was under construction, so I thought, what am I going to do for Lincoln? So I sent a couple of the deacons over to the parsonage, and we got my recliner. And Lincoln came up, and I set him in that recliner. I pulled that handle back, flipped him up. I said, there you go, buddy. Beat that. Huh? Amen. Glory to God. We had an awesome time. We had an awesome time. Elijah Verge, North Ash Church of the Nazarene. We all showed up there, man. We filled that church up. And you know what? Every single time, everybody went away going, man, that was good. Man, that was good. So why don't we do it more often? Why are we so segregated? See, I think God is, it's part of this gathering that God wants to do in us. And we need to open our hearts up to see what it is that God might want to do. Whether it's corporate, whether it's faith groups, whether it's one-on-one, God is calling us to gather. Well, why should we gather? That's the second question, isn't it? Why are you here this morning? We could take the microphone and go around. Tell me, why are you here? Say, well, some might say, well, I've come here because my wife said I have to. Amen. Or my husband's expecting me to be here. Or my mom said I have to come, right? Remember when we were little kids, you know, you have to go. I don't want to go to church. It doesn't matter if you want to go. You're going, bless God. And so maybe we're here because someone made us come. I don't know. Maybe you're here out of obligation. Maybe you're here that people will think you're spiritual. Why have you come? Tom Nelson said oftentimes the church is looked at in four different ways. One, some people see it as a filling station. We're going to pull in and fill up, right? Sure. Hey, my tank's a little low. I need to get my tank filled up today. Well, that's okay. Some people see it as a movie theater. Yeah, first you're going to check and see what's playing, right? What's the message today? Who's speaking? That's why I'll decide whether I want to go or not. Or some of you are even movie critics. Man, I lived there for a long time. You know, after I left the pastorate so many years ago, it took me 2 years to start enjoying church services again because I was critiquing everything. I couldn't receive. Well, I'd do it this way, and I'd do it that way, and I don't think that's right, and I don't think that's right. Are you that way? A movie critic. I don't like that speaker. I don't like his style. Man, I've been there. But here's the reality. But what did he say? But what did he say? Was it something I needed to receive? Or I don't receive from women, man. I can't receive from women. Really? That's a shame. What if God wants to speak to you through a woman? Don't miss out. We've got all these preconceived ideas about the church, but God wants to speak to you. He wants the church to gather and receive what he has for us. How many of you think the church is a drugstore? Yeah, you bring your prescription to get filled, get your need met, right? Is it a drugstore? I think some people think the church is Walmart. That's right, you've come for a good deal. I'm coming for a good deal. See, well, no, Pastor, none of that's true. I've come to hear a sermon. Really? Well, you don't have to come here to hear a sermon. You can turn on your radio and hear a sermon. You can flip on your TV and hear a sermon. You can hear a sermon about anywhere if you really want to. Well, no, it's not that. I've come to worship. Man, I love corporate worship, don't you? Isn't it unique and special? But let me tell you something. You can worship in your car. Just flip in a CD. You can worship to your heart's content. Well, no, Pastor, no. I've come to pray. I've come to pray. Really? Well, I don't know if you heard or not, but the veil was written too the night Jesus died, and you have full access. You can pray anywhere, at any time, any place. Well, then, Pastor, why do we gather? There's one thing that you can't get on television or TV or in your car or in your quiet time, which is great. You ought to have it. All those things are good. But there's something you can't get there that you can only get here. You know what that is? It's relationships. Relationships with people. That's a big deal to God. It has been from the very beginning. This whole idea of gathering together. It's God is into relationships. Do you believe that? Why, in Ephesians it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were called and sealed for the day of redemption, but cast off malice and evil speaking and jealousy and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. But that's all about relationships. It's a big deal to God. It was such a big deal. Jesus saw relationships in everything. He said, when you're praying, and if you remember you have a fault against a brother, get up from that place and go make it right and then come back. Why? It's about relationships. Relationships are more important than ritual to God. Do you understand that? We go through all the ritual, and it's okay, it's good. But relationships are the bottom line. Am I right? That's what you get when the church gathers. Listen to this, Hebrews 10:19. Tell me if this is not you. Okay, hear the word of the Lord. Just close your eyes and hear this. Therefore, brethren and sistren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Is that us? So now what? Oh, you have to keep reading the next two verses. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit or manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You get it? All those things we read about are true. Man, that is my standing in God. Now what do I do? Now you start connecting with one another, the ecclesia. It's what God has called us to. It's God's ecclesia. We're part of it. He has called us by His Spirit. We've been called out. We are part of the assembly. Don't forsake the gathering. Why? Three things. Do you see it there? First off, we're going to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Listen, we need to consider one another. How do you do that? You don't do that by being in isolation. You do that by coming together. I see your faces all through the week. I pray for you. I go through the roster. You know, I just go through down through that. I'll start the alphabet. I'll just go down and, Lord, just stop me wherever you need me to stop. Why? Because I want to consider the body of Christ. I want to consider, what is it? These living stones that you have put together in this place. Father, help us to consider one another, not just to be so caught up in ourselves that we have no time for other people. Oh, but to consider other people's needs is more important than my own. To put other people before my myself. See, that's how you consider one another. He says, do that so that you might stir up love and good works. Well, some of your translations will say provoke one another. I kind of like that word, provoke. That's kind of somebody poking you with a stick. Provoke them. Man, that guy just provoked me. Well, how about us provoking one another to love and good works? Man, that's what happens when the church gets together, isn't it? We want to stir up. We want to provoke one another, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Don't forsake that. For so long we say, oh, it's not important. It's not significant. Yes, it is. It is significant. God said it was significant. He hardwired you to desire it because He wants you to come together so you can do these things. Why? To exhort one another, especially as you see the day approaching. We need each other. Amen. I need you. You need me. Some of you say, I don't need the church. Well, okay. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But I need you. I need you. You may not need me, but I need you. It's not about just what I receive. It's about what I give. This is the church. In Ephesians 4, we don't have it on the screen, but we come together because it's a sign of unity. Not just to us, but to the world. Amen? Why, Corinthians even says that when the unbeliever comes into the assembly, do unbelievers come into the assembly? Yes. What do they see when they come into the assembly? That's where he said, hey, there's a certain way you want to do things so that God can minister to them. What's the one thing, what's the big criticism of the church today? It's a lack of unity. That's why we're so segregated. It's why we get in our little denominational groups and we build our little hedges around. Is that ecclesia? No, that's not what God saw at all. Paul said, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. You've been called out. This is your calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, the unity of the Spirit is something you already have. What he's saying is, do everything you can to preserve it and keep it. Remember when you first got saved? You loved every Christian, didn't you? You saw somebody with a little fish on their... Oh, are you a believer? Oh, I am too. Give me a hug. Yeah, I just met Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? But then you learn. Not all Christians are the same. Are you of the faith camp? Are you a holy roller? Are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? What are you? I'm the ecclesia of God. I'm part of His church. That's who I am. Don't lose the unity of the Spirit. Don't confuse it with the unity of the faith. If you keep reading in Ephesians, he gets to that. He says, unity of the faith is based in knowledge. We grow in the unity of the faith. See, we'll be at different places in unity of the faith. But unity of the Spirit is the glue that holds us together as the body of Christ. Look what he says. There's one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen? There is no denominationalism in the body of Christ as God sees it. We are one together. Amen? Now, we may have a lot of diversity, let me tell you. But you know what's beautiful about the church? Unity comes through diversity. It's the beauty of it. We don't have to all walk in step with one another. It's not a cookie sheet thing. We all got to look around. We don't all dress alike, do we? I'm a suit guy. See, I wear a coat. You, what? I need not say anything else. God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? He does. Remember what we read in Peter? What did he say? He said, we are living stones. Listen, God minds you. He dug you out of the ground. And he didn't just do that, but he's chiseling on you. Why, what's he doing? What did Peter say? He's going to build a spiritual house. He's going to stack stones on top of one another. What is that? That's the ecclesia. God didn't make us to be a stone, just said, oh, look, isn't that a beautiful stone? No, I'm going to stack you on top of other stones. I'm going to chisel you and make you fit just right into the church, the body of Christ. One stone on top of another, young on top of old, male on top of female, rich on top of poor, rich on top of the poor, the educated, the uneducated. It doesn't matter. God is calling. He's gathering the church. And when we gather, we are an expression of what God is doing. God is adding to the church according to his pleasure. Do you believe that? See, I don't build the church. I just enjoy it. God builds it. He's building it. We have a part to play in it, but it's God who's building it. And I believe God has added you here. How'd I get here? How did you get here? I love to hear your stories. Hey, how'd you get here? Well, this and this happened to me. Really? Was it my plan to be here? And here I am. Isn't it wonderful? See, God's building his church. He puts the stones together in just the right way. If this isn't the place for you, then where is the place? God didn't call you to just sit off in the corner by yourself. You are part of ecclesia. You are part of the assembly. You are part of the called out ones. God is putting you together. He's fashioning you to fit just right into the body of Christ. If this isn't the place, you need to find out where the place is. If you're not supposed to be here, don't stay a day longer than you should, because God's church is a big place and he wants to use you. I believe that he's calling you. If you're trying to be the Lone Ranger, then you've missed the heart of God. That's not what God has called us to do. I believe one of the purposes of the gathering is to keep you from isolation. And to realize you are part of something really big. See, because when we're off in our little huddles all the time, we don't see the big picture. God wants you to see the big picture. He's calling you to ecclesia, body ministry. Where else are you going to get body ministry? You know, when we come together as a body of Christ, there's prophetic words that come forth. There's gifts of healing. These things are here for us to partake of. Where do we get them? We get them by coming together and we begin to minister. There's unique things that happen when the church gathers like this. So lastly, how should we gather? Quickly. First thing I want you to do, and you may have to tweak this a little bit in your life, stop minimizing the gathering. It's not that big a deal. I don't have to go to church. I mean, what? You're probably right. But don't undervalue the gathering. Ask God, pray this prayer. God, give me an appreciation for the gathering. I prayed that prayer and God answered it for me. I fell in love with the church all over again. Not just this little part, but the big picture. I so love the church because God loves the church. And when he looks at her, she's beautiful to him. Pray that we can come with a spirit of anticipation and expectation. What is it? What is it you want God to do when we gather? And how does he want to use you in that process? Here's something I want you to consider, and I realize you got to put tension on this. Protect your Saturday nights. If you're really serious about gathering, whenever you're preparing to gather, what you do before that gathering is very important. Prepare your heart. Let God put you in a position to receive and to be used by him. You have these cards that are given out to you today, and I thank those who helped design these. This actually came from Central Community Church does this, and I saw it, and I thought, wow, that would be cool for faith community. Take these. Don't throw them. Sew them. Leave them at a restaurant with a good tip. Don't leave a dollar and attach this card. Don't do it. I've been going to the Copper Oven over here on 13th since we're so close. I got this waitress I've been connecting with, and I gave her one of these the other day. I told her, I said, this is hot off the press. I gave that to her, and she looked at it. And what's the big question about coming to Faith Community Church? Where in the world is Faith Community Church? There's a map on the back, okay? Because it's awful hard to tell people. Here's where it is. And the waitress told me, hey, I'm going to come to that church. I'm going to come to that church. Nothing will kick up the gathering more than when you start bringing people with you. See these empty seats? You know what those are? Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities to be able to connect with people's lives. And people will come to a gathering. Listen, it takes a lot of guts to walk into a place all by yourself. Would you go to a church where you didn't know anybody? Would you do that? Man, it takes, people do it, but it's rare to walk into a strange place. It's going to be by relationships. It's all about relationships. So I want to encourage you to invite. There's just five cards there. Sow five seeds. See what happens. When you start bringing people to Christ, man, you're going to start getting excited about the ecclesia, because you're going to be adding people to it. Listen, what happens to us? Here's the problem. We sit around getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Hey, I'm not talking about that. Are you offended by that? What's true in the natural is often true in the spirit. We're just taking it in. It's not. Listen, what good is that if we don't share it with others? That'll kick up the gathering in a whole new level. Just starting to bring and see God doing something in people's lives. This morning we're going to gather around the table as we close. What is this table? It's a table of gathering. The disciples gathered around this table, and Jesus spoke powerful words to them. The same words he's speaking to us today as his church, the ecclesia. He saw us down through time. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And you know what he saw? He saw us becoming the body of Christ. He said, this is the cup. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is the good news. That's what this table's all about. And you're invited to come this morning, and no one will be turned away. See, well, I'm not a member of this church. I don't know what that means. But I'll tell you this, you're part of the church. Not, maybe not this church, but you're part of the church, aren't you? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this table is open to you. Now, if God chooses to plug you in here and connect you in this place, man, nothing would thrill us more. But if it's not here, it's somewhere. God's calling you to gather. He's calling you. It starts here at this table. This is the table of unity. It's the place of calling. It's where God called you out. God called you out because of his sacrifice. He called you, what did the scripture say? From darkness to light. He called you out from death to life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you, this is your opportunity right now, to open your heart up to him and become part of the ecclesia of God. He's calling you to be part of his family. One day, the scriptures are clear, we will all gather around the throne. Is that true? Why wait? Why wait? Let's get started now. Let's start gathering and see what God will do. Amen. Father, as we receive this cup, as we receive the bread, we thank you for the body. It unites us together. It makes us one, even though we're all so different. Yet, we're one in you. Lord, I pray that we do everything we can to keep the unity of the Spirit as you grow us into the unity of the faith. We value this gathering. We don't take it for granted. Forgive us when we have. Put within us a new desire, a new appreciation for what you're doing in your church. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask those who are going to help us serve to come forward, please. Amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle and make your way to one of the servers, and then make your way back through the side aisle. We ask you to take a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and then partake of it. It is a sign of God's love and our unity in him. Come. you stand with me, please? Thank you for gathering today. Now I want you to go out and gather some more. Just keep gathering. Keep gathering. It's a God thing. And see what God might do. Amen. I want to, as we dismiss, part of the gathering is to minister to one another as the body of Christ. We call it body ministry because it's God's plan for us. And there are people in this church who I trust very much, who I know will come and pray with us and agree with us. And I got prayed for this morning in the early service. It really ministered to me. I love the church. Take advantage of it. Don't set it aside. But open the package and see what God has for you. Somebody may have a prophetic word for you, a word that will edify, exhort, and counsel. All the gifts are here for the common good of the body and for when we gather. And so if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, boy, this is your day. God's calling you out. He's calling you out to be part of the body of Christ. We want to pray with you. Take somebody by the hand. Say, man, I don't want to go up there by myself. Grab somebody to come with you. And we'll pray. We'll stay here as long as necessary. If you need encouragement today, man, this is the river you want to drink from today. Encourage you to come. If you need healing in your body, we will anoint you with oil. We will lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith, because that's part of what the body's been called to do. What happens to you happens to me. What happens to me happens to you. And so we are part one with another. Amen. I want you to go with this blessing today, that the love of God would cover you and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be revealed to you in a fresh new way, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would empower you to be the ecclesia of God. God bless you as you go. We love you. We'll be here to minister. Come take advantage of this table. God bless you. Thank you for coming.